You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. McLovin not with us this week. Addition by subtraction. Your phone calls are welcome every Monday, best and worst of the weekend. We'll check in with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Cowboys and Steelers show up for camp on Wednesday. They get a head start because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. We'll hear from Giannis coming up. I thought a wonderful comment by Giannis after Game 5. Bring that to your attention. Reggie Miller will join us a little bit later on. Game 6 of the NBA Finals will be Tuesday night. Your phone call is always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. I think we settle on a poll question in the first hour, and I don't know who has the results. Since McLovin is not here, we have passed those responsibilities on to Todd.
Which athlete stock would you invest in today was the question. 44% Shohei, 33% Morikawa, followed by 22% Trevor Lawrence.
Don't miss the new Peacock original, Dr. Death, based on the Wondery podcast, inspired by the true story of Dr. Christopher Dunst. The series goes deep on the dangerous surgeon who left 33 patients maimed. Dr. Death streaming now on Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com to get started. Who said golf majors are hard to win? Look at Colin Morikawa. 2 years and 2 months ago, he's graduating from college. He shows up at his first PGA championship. That was in 2020 and wins. Now, there was no crowd there, no gallery. And it felt like it was, he won the PGA championship. There have been a lot of, I don't want to say random players, journeyman players. If you're going to win a major, the PGA used to be that championship, that major. Then he shows up at Royal St. George for the Open Championship and wins. Makes his debut at the PGA, wins, and his debut at the Open Championship and wins. He's 24 years of age. He had to hold off Jordan Spieth, Louis Oosthuizen, John Rahm, pick up the win. In the post-Tiger era, Morikawa enters a group of talented young golfers capable of winning any major. But you start to think some of these guys, Koepka, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, these are all big guys who hit a long way. Colin Morikawa is 5'9", 160. The era of parity has pros and cons. You don't have a unifying figure like Tiger, but you get constant drama at the majors. It's not, remember it used to be, would you take Tiger or the field? And a lot of times you would take Tiger. But if Colin Morikawa can do this in his first two tries, Open Championship and the PGA, maybe he is a golfer to beat in the coming years. We keep waiting for, is it Rory? Rory hadn't won a major in, 7 years? Jordan Spieth played well, but it's been a four-year drought there. Justin Thomas, you're waiting for him to break through. Ricky Fowler disappeared, came back, had a good final round. Phil shot an 80 the first day at the Open Championship, but he did win a major. You know, golf trying to figure out, or at least we're trying to figure out, who is going to emerge. And is there going to be that singular figure? Dustin Johnson had his run. Jordan Spieth had his run. It feels like John Rahm, it feels like he's right on the cusp. But it does is illuminate what Tiger did. When you know every single weekend, every single major, it was that guy. And now he had a 10-year run and then about a 9-year run. So he could not have been better, it felt like, in a 10-year run. And then he couldn't have been worse in a 9-year run. You know, you just had two careers, basically. But that 10-year run, to me, is as great a performance as you've seen or golf has ever seen. Because he wasn't winning. He was dominating. You know, when you win the U.S. Open by, 15 shots at Pebble Beach, like, that just doesn't happen. But Colin Morikawa seems like he is a lot older than what he is at age 24. First male golfer to win two majors. In his debut appearance, he also won the PGA in his first attempt as well. But here you have two majors, and you're not even 25. He joins Bobby Jones, Gene Sarazen, Jack Nicklaus, Seve Ballesteros, Tiger Woods, Rory, and Jordan Spieth, winning multiple majors before turning 25. It's pretty impressive. And he seems like a really impressive young man. And when we had him on after the PGA, he Felt like he's an old soul. He really, you didn't think the moment was too big for him. You keep thinking it's going to be too big for him, but it wasn't. He was spectacular. That was wonderful, wonderful to watch. I was rooting for the weather, and I got shut out because there was no wind, no rain. You know, I've been there in Ireland where it's going sideways. There's hail. There was snow one time. It's cold. But that's what you kind of, that's what you root for, I think, as a fan, because that's what's unique. That's different. They don't play on courses like that. You know, most of the times they're going to places that they know they're going to have nice weather. You go to the British Open, right off the coast, you should get one day in there. They should manufacture, like the Truman Show with Jim Carrey, where they created this turbulent weather there where he's out on a boat, you know, trying to drown him. You know, they should have big wind turbines there and blowing and gusting. Jim Cantore over there from the Weather Channel. Didn't get it. But congrats to Colin Morikawa with picking up his second championship. All right, let's see. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you ours, but we'll get some more phone calls coming up. Florio will join us. We'll talk about Cowboys and the Steelers. I'm curious of those two teams. You know, you had the Steelers who had an unbelievable year, at least the start of the year, and then faded quickly. And then you have the Cowboys. That was just a mess. But if you were going to look at who do you think is going to have a better season, Cowboys or Steelers?
Hot.
Cowboys can't be worse. I was not sold on the Steelers. I thought that was a very hollow record that they had when they were undefeated. They did have a good defense, but now you've added some running with Najee Harris. But it comes down to Ben, and I would not bet on Ben in a situation like this. And then you have Dak Prescott. How healthy is he going to be? Zeke Elliott, the offensive line, still comes down to the defense. That's when I look at Dallas, I don't care how many weapons you add. When you need to get a stop, can you get one? And we've seen that in the Super Bowl. You can go up and down the field, and what's it come down to? The Niners were going to win the Super Bowl, but there were two really impressive defensive plays by Chris Jones of Kansas City. Who won the Super Bowl for the Buccaneers? Their defense, their pass rush. You have to have it at some point in the season. And when you start to look at Dallas, do they have that player or players? Do you have confidence in Mike McCarthy? I don't. But Dak, I'm rooting for. I like him. He's been through a lot. And now you got to live up to that paycheck. Because it before, boy, that's a nice little story. You know, you got him in, the third round. And then all of a sudden he takes over and he puts up a really good performance. All right, okay, maybe he is a good quarterback. Maybe he's a very good quarterback. Then he gets hurt. Now he comes back. Now you have the expectations even added with what you're being paid, coming back from an injury. And you should be the class of this division. Although I like Washington a lot, and I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I don't want him to be my starting quarterback. When you win the division at 7-9, that's embarrassing for everybody. Now you look at the Giants. Is Daniel Jones going to take the next step? Saquon Barkley, what's his role going to be? How healthy is he going to be? When is he going to be healthy? The Eagles, what are the Eagles doing? Feels like that's a rebuild. And you got Jalen Hurts, but can you get Deshaun Watson? And if you get Deshaun Watson, that ups the time frame here. The Steelers, you know, the Browns are going to be very good. You know, the Ravens are usually pretty good. Cincinnati will be a little better, but they're not going to be threatening. I mean, they might steal a game from somebody here in the division. But if you're the Steelers, this is it. This is the last ride for Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm surprised that they even, you know, got the gang together for one more time. Unless they didn't see a quarterback they truly liked. And I know they have Dwayne Haskins on the bench. They still, you know, have guys who are basically backup quarterbacks backing up Ben Roethlisberger. But it comes down to Ben. You know, can he? And he had good numbers last year. But those were in the first 10 or 11 games. And then all of a sudden, didn't look good. Yeah, Paul.
You were mentioning the NFC East. I think the Giants, they're not that interesting, but their situation is interesting. Because if the Giants don't do well, they'll probably not stick with Daniel Jones because then he won't get that contract.
Yeah.
And also Saquon Barkley, if they're a rebuilding team or a team with a rookie quarterback, they're not going to give Saquon Barkley a big second contract coming off an injury. And with a rookie quarterback, you're starting over again.
Yeah.
He could be jettisoned.
Yeah, that's, you know, we get into that second contract for a running back. And if I got a guy coming off a serious knee injury, first of all, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have my running back into a second contract. I want to use him as much as possible. So whoever gets him after that, then they're getting a watered down version of that at that position. But I think the NFC East is interesting because I don't think Washington is great. I think Dallas can be very good. And you got the Giants, who I'm just not quite sure if they can put all the pieces together. But Ryan Fitzpatrick with Washington, he's a great story. He's a great interview. I just don't think – I think he can win games and lose games for you. Yes, Eden.
He's had one of the more fascinating careers of the last, I don't even know how long, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this his ninth team that he's starting for?
Yeah, he's had – this will be his ninth team, wow. And he started at least three games for each team. There's guys who jump around and ride the pine. He's 59-86 as a starter, though.
Got a couple of decent contracts in there.
Yeah, I mean, he's done okay, and there are times when – it usually is a game that you go, oh, they're not going to win. And then they win, and Ryan Fitzpatrick throws for, you know, 300 yards, four touchdowns. Couple of phone calls in here, then we'll take a break. Let's see. John in Dayton. Hey, John, what do you have for me this hour?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I got a best and worst for you. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, John.
Hello. Hey, my best was celebrating my wife's 40th at the Reds game on Friday, and the worst was the Reds losing three in a row to the Brewers.
Wait, your wife wanted to go see the Reds on her birthday?
Well, it was a surprise thing. I guess it was kind of for me, too. But, you know, she had a good time. And hello?
Yeah, thank you, John. Thank you. Have you ever surprised your wife with something and then you can tell in her face that she's not happy with what you surprised her with? Or you go, surprise! And then you could tell it's like, yeah, Paulie.
I can imagine if I surprised my wife on her birthday with Mets tickets, the reaction would be galactic.
Surprise! Like, where are we going? Yeah. You're going to find out.
Are there diamond earrings underneath those tickets?
Yeah, come on. Like, I promised you diamonds. It was a baseball diamond. Yes, Eden.
There was, years ago, I had gotten, this is an ex-girlfriend. She had just made an offhanded comment about how she really wanted this, like, drill. You know, like a DeWalt, you know, whatever drill.
That's hot.
So for Christmas, I got her that drill thinking it would be like cute or like funny or something. And she opened it up and it was like this just stank face. Like, what is this? Like, what? And I'm like, no, remember you said? And I thought it would go over as like being really cute or something. She was just like, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
A drill?
I bought my wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, a blender for Christmas. But she
for drinks and fun?
She had said, you know what, we're definitely going to need a blender. Okay. And I thought, okay, you need a blender. I got you something. Like, it's not a gift. If it's something you need, then it's not a gift. And I got her a blender. And I'd say it comes up just about every Christmas. What is it? My kids will go, what did you get her, a blender? Yes, Todd.
I've gotten my wife what I thought were creative, thoughtful, romantic gifts, and she wanted no part of that. We went out for like a Mother's Day brunch, and I got her this frame thing that said, at first there was us, and it had the date of our wedding date, and then came, and I had...
Wait, did you do a limerick?
It wasn't a limerick.
Oh, okay.
It was something that was just, it was something that someone had come up with. I found it online, and it was a nice framed piece of what I would consider a piece of art. And finally, all these years later, we finally found a place to hang it up because I kept whining about it. And it said, first there was us with our anniversary date. Then came Jordan, our son, with the date of his birth, and then our daughter and the date of her birth. And she just looked at it like, what are we going to do with that? And she had it in the closet for a very long time until I finally, you know.
She was like, can I get some Mets tickets? I'd rather have that.
And I got her this thing because she's a teacher.
Can I get a drill?
Yeah. Sounded like a thoughtful gift.
That's what I thought. I got her this thing because she's a teacher. It had like this, all these verses about how important teachers are to future generations. And again, that's not my thing. You know, picture frames of, you know, why it's great to be a teacher.
No, that sounds like something her students should have gotten her.
Probably.
Her husband.
It's in the basement hanging in a corner that no one could possibly see it unless you had a certain angle that you would never face to really be able to read it.
You know, a lot of thought went into it, Todd.
Very weak.
Yeah. Very, very weak.
I tried.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. More phone calls coming up. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. I thought Giannis had a wonderful quote over the weekend, and I want to bring that to your attention. 16 after the hour, we'll talk a little football. Mike Florio will join us on loan from Pro Football Talk right after this. You feel exhausted mentally, physically? The truth is that's not normal. M-Drive Boost and Burn, it's the daily supplement that gives you energy, an energy boost that you need to stay driven and feel your best every day. You got to bring it every single day. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, M-Drive Boost and Burn helps you build lean muscle, burn body fat, stay at the top of your game. No matter your age, with M-Drive Boost and Burn, you can find it at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. But I suggest you go to mdrivedan.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. You can join the community of driven guys not ready to slow down. Fight back against the clock with M-Drive Boost and Burn. Boost energy, burn fat. Go to mdrivedan.com and try M-Drive Boost and Burn for yourself. And you can also pick it up at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shoppe. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We'll check in with Mike Florio on loan from Pro Football Talk Live. We'll get a couple more phone calls. Winthrop in North Carolina, best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, Dan. It's good to see everybody. The best of the weekend for me, one of them is Jordan Spieth getting his mental game back together, apparently somewhat in a major. The kid has had nothing physically wrong with him over the years, but just, I don't know, had some mental problems, and I really like him. The second best is the Yankees having to play small ball and winning 9-1 over Boston last night. Their major stars are all injured. So they actually had to steal, hit and run,
yeah,
hit to the gap, things like that. And then the icing on the cake on that was in the seventh, Boston walking in 3 runs. That's very unusual in my experience. So I just, one other thing I wanted to say, Fritzy's wearing the Stay in Your Lane shirt.
Yeah.
And Dan, I love you. With all due respect, add the Ramones to the list of Stay in Your Lane and ask Seton why. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Thank
love
you.
Love the show.
Thank you, Winther. Thank you. Yeah, Paulie.
I don't remember you being anti-Ramones. I don't remember that. Is that what he's saying?
I'm guessing.
Are you saying that you weren't a Ramones guy?
I'm not a Ramones fan.
But then you didn't ding them.
No, I mean, I probably did by saying I'm not a Ramones fan. But, you know, Blitzkrieg Bop is just not my... And I know that they were influential with other bands. You know, Bono has talked about the Ramones. I know they were influential. You know, I don't trump up the Clash the way I'm supposed to. They were very influential. But, you know, just saying, the Ramones didn't do anything for me. Yes.
They're always one of those bands, like, what's that saying about, you know, 100 people saw them, but they all started a band kind of thing, you know? It's like.
Yeah. Yeah. I just not a Ramones fan.
I don't feel like you need to stay in your lane on that.
No.
I think you're okay.
I mean, I was told to stay in my lane on Green Day, and I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I went to the Green Day exhibit just so I could familiarize myself. That's the kind of reporting that I do. That's the journalist that I am. Let's bring in Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. See, you don't have to deal with any of this stuff, Mike, do you?
I like it, though. I like listening to it. I like it. I like Green Day. I can only imagine the things that are available to maybe sample at the Green Day exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well,
is it legal in Ohio? I don't know.
It was a nice exhibit. I took pictures just to let people know that I did go to try to learn a little bit more about Green Day. That's all. That's what we do in this business, Mike. Like, you got to get out. You got to go meet people, go to camp, talk to coaches, GMs. I mean, this is what we have to do.
It is. It is. I'm just getting that memo 20 years later. I stay in my cave as much as I can. I think people prefer it that way.
All right. You got the Cowboys and the Steelers. They get to start practice on Wednesday. More interesting team to you between those two?
Well, I'd say the Cowboys, because they always are. It's close, though. This year with the Steelers, I don't know what their mindset is. I don't know why they brought Ben Roethlisberger back. I don't know why he came back. It doesn't feel like they're going to be as successful as last year. That AFC is so top-heavy with Super Bowl contenders. It's going to be a tough year for the best teams in the AFC. For the Cowboys, their path to the division championship is wide open. They could win it easily. They're favored to win it, although I don't think they should be. I think it should be Washington. But with the Dak Prescott injury, which by all appearances is healed, Ezekiel Elliott, can he get back to being the guy he was a couple of years ago? Can they do anything defensively? And it's the Cowboys, and they're on Hard Knocks. I mean, so the Cowboys are always going to be a team. Even when it feels like that star is a little tarnished, they still are a team that everyone wants to pay attention to.
Why did the Steelers bring Ben back?
I think what happened, and Sims and I talked about this on PFT Live, I think they had enough time after their loss to the Browns in the playoffs and to process the way things fell apart after the Steelers started 11-0, to convince themselves that we don't have to rebuild, we just have to reload. If we fix this and this and this and this, you get into kind of an echo chamber with your front office and your coaching staff, and they convince themselves they can make a run at the Super Bowl and win it, and we're going to do it, we're going to bring him back, and we're going to have that one more year. And I think part of it, too, was they didn't know what else they were going to do if they didn't bring back Ben Roethlisberger. They didn't draft high enough to get a first-round talent that could be the next franchise quarterback like they did in 2004 when they had the 11th pick. So I think that part of it was hubris, and part of it is we don't know what plan B would be, so let's stick with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, and I know they brought in Haskins, I guess just to see if there is potential there, but Mason Rudolph is not threatening anybody. I don't know if they didn't see a quarterback in the draft that they could get,
yep,
or was worth going to get. I don't know if it was something as simplistic as that, and then you just thought, all right, well, we can fall back on Ben. And Ben did have pretty good numbers those first, 11 games or so. But and their receivers were, I think they dropped more balls than any other receivers. So now you've added a running back. I don't know what their style is going to be, but it'll be tough sledding in that division.
One thing Jerome Bettis told Ed Bouchette of The Athletic last year was the running game is something that begins in training camp. You have to have a commitment up front. It's a different style of blocking, and you have to have a mindset that you are going to mash people who are across from you and open up those holes. And they have huge turnover on the offensive line. That's the big unknown with the Steelers this year. All the turnover on the offensive line, will the new players be as good or better than the guys they're replacing? And we'll see. And Dan, I don't know if you saw this or talked about it, but there was an item recently on a tell that Ben Roethlisberger has when he's in shotgun formation, where when it's a pass, he's got his left heel off the ground. When it's a run, he's flat-footed. Defenses see that. They know about that. And if you know before the snap, whether it's a run or a pass, that's 85% of the battle. If they can iron that out, when you consider how good their offense was even with that tell, if they can get rid of that, they could be a lot better potentially on offense. If you just take off the table, hey, defense, we're running or we're passing, that could make a huge difference.
Wait, how does the tell get told?
Somebody studied the film and noticed it. Somebody in the media studied the film and saw that the heel's off the ground when he passes and he's flat-footed when he runs. And I don't know how long that's been the case, but it's a pretty basic yes, no, pass, run thing. And if defensive players are seeing it before the snap, that That would explain why they ran the ball so poorly last year. If every time they ran the ball, somebody up front could see that Ben was standing flat-footed and that meant he was going to hand it off out of shotgun.
I remember Rodney Harrison telling me that he would watch Tony Gonzalez line up. And he said if he lined up, and it maybe it was a foot out, he knew it was a pass play. And if he lined up a little closer to the tackle, it was going to be a run, like just something so small. But that's all you're looking for. Like, what is your tell? We're talking to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host with Chris Sims, Monday through Friday. You can watch that on Peacock. I'm fascinated with the Rams and Chargers because I don't want to set my expectations up too high for the Chargers, as I always do. And the Rams, I find really fascinating here. Which one are you more interested in seeing this season?
Well, I'm more interested in the Chargers. I think the Chargers have a great deal of talent. They hit a home run in hiring Brandon Staley to be the head coach. I think he's going to be a great coach. The challenge for the Chargers is to avoid injuries. And you mentioned Rodney Harrison. I've been sitting next to him for the last decade, and he's got this uncanny ability, watching nine games at once, to spot the potentially serious knee injury, and he'll slap me and he'll say, watch this replay. And, you know, 95 out of 100 times, the guy just jumps up and he's good to go. Teams out there know how to properly get their guys flexible and everything about the training side of it to get guys to a point where they can go out and play and not suffer serious injury. I think some teams are better than others. And one of the problems with the Chargers, when you just look at the recent history of injury, I hope they've taken a broader look at their processes and try to figure out what they can do to limit the injuries, because that's what knocks them off every single year. They get key guys injured and it falls apart. For the Rams, hey, they got to the final eight with Jared Goff at quarterback, and now they have Matthew Stafford. And whether they can get back there, I mean, this is going to be the great litmus test for the struggles of Matthew Stafford's career. Was it him? Was it the Lions? We're going to find out this year.
The obligatory Aaron Rodgers update, Mike?
I think he's going to be there, and I think he's not going to say anything, because next Monday, Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Packers, gets to meet with fans/shareholders at the annual meeting, and they haven't had a chance to voice their displeasure with the past several months, and they're going to do it, and Murphy's going to bear the brunt of it. And I think Rodgers is keeping his mouth shut right now, in part because he doesn't want to make it any easier next Monday when Mark Murphy has to address the shareholders, who understandably are upset because they're caught in the middle of this. That's the one thing I don't like about it. The players are caught in the middle of it. The fans are caught in the middle of it. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to show up. And frankly, I think when he does show up, that could be when the Packers, starting with Murphy, begin to soften on this idea of potentially trading him. Because I think if we injected sodium pentothal into the veins of Mark Murphy, he would admit that he'd rather Aaron Rodgers not show up.
But what is the goal here of Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he wants to play somewhere else. I mean, he wants to stick it to the Packers. He's upset with the fact that he spent years believing he was untouchable. And in one moment, without a heads up, without the courtesy of a phone call or a text message or anything, he found out he's not untouchable because they traded up to draft a quarterback who ostensibly will replace him. And at one point, I think it was when he was talking to Kenny Mayne, he made the comment that his season last year threw a wrench into the plan. He believes that they wanted to go from Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers after one season of Jordan Love on the bench. And I think he's trying to force that now. And I really do think his best chance of getting traded this year is to show up and hope that the people at the top of the organization say, let's just get rid of this distraction, because it's going to be a mess of a season, a nonstop question. Is it his last year? Let's just be done with it now and move forward.
Wait, so before the season, you think he'll be traded as opposed to after the season?
Well, no, I think his best chance of getting traded before the season is to show up. I think holding out is not the way to get traded. I think he's got a better chance of getting traded if he shows up. Mm. And it's this constant circus of, is this his last year? Have they promised to trade him? He's asked about it all the time. He makes his little snide, passive-aggressive comments, so they have to scour everything he says to see who he's taking a shot at. I have a feeling they've gotten to the point where they've had enough of that, and they're just ready to move forward. And showing up, I think, is the ticket to them deciding to move on.
But, Mike, if the Packers knew this, then why not do it at draft at the draft, you have a lot of teams that come into play, more options here. I don't understand. You're going to limit the market for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, look, I agree with you completely. And I think they do get more for him if they wait until after the season. You're going to have 8, 9, 10 teams that are deciding to move on from their current quarterbacks. And that makes sense. But I'm just talking about the day in and day out reality of Aaron Rodgers back and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers taking verbal shots at Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, whoever. He can't help himself. At some point, he's going to break. You can see it. The wheels spin in his head. He tries to resist. At some point, he's going to say something. And as Sims and I have said on PFT Live, if you're Mark Murphy or Brian Gutekunst, don't go anywhere near the practice field without a helmet on and two cups, because you're going to get the walking boss treatment. Was the walking boss the one that Burt Reynolds threw the football and Adam Sandler did the same thing right into the,
Yeah.
Right into the sensitive area.
Yes.
If you're Gutekunst or Murphy, steer clear of Aaron Rodgers with a football this year.
Why doesn't Rodgers just say, trade me?
I think he enjoys whether it's... God.
Yeah, but if he doesn't get traded,
Packers,
though, Mike, I mean, like, if his end game is to get traded, then why didn't you jump on this 2 months ago?
Dan, I've been saying that since the moment he activated this story the first day of the draft. And
he's
got to
be looking at the Rams and going, I should be the starting quarterback for the Rams.
Yes.
Right.
And or the 49ers.
Yeah.
Or the 49ers, the team that he wanted to go to as the first pick in the 2005 draft. Yeah. He wanted to go to the 49ers. And that's really what started this. It was my friend Paul Allen of KFAN reporting that the 49ers made a run at Aaron Rodgers. That all hit the day of the draft. And Dan, look, I think that it was all calculated and strategic. And this was his payback, because the Packers turned his life upside down draft day 2020. Draft day 2021, he's going to turn their life upside down. I think it was all planned, and it worked to perfection. Because look at what we've been talking about for the last 3.5 months.
Deshaun Watson, any chance he shows up next week? Can he show up next week?
Well, he can, because no one has said from the league whether or not he's going to be on paid leave. And I've been saying for weeks now that the league has had a chance to conduct its preliminary investigation into these 22 civil lawsuits and decide yes or no, up or down, Deshaun Watson gets put on the commissioner exempt list in 2021. And I think the right thing to do and the fair thing to do is for the league to tell the Texans, Watson, and anyone else out there who may want to trade for him, what his status is, and not play this guessing game. And you'll find out when we put him on the commissioner exempt list. That's what the league typically does. They won't tell you in advance. Because if he's not going to be put on the commissioner exempt list, I think the chances of him traded, even with the pending lawsuits, increases dramatically. Whether it's the Eagles, the Dolphins, the Broncos, I think one of those three teams make a run at him if the league says we're not putting him on the commissioner exempt list.
Is the NFL investigating the Buccaneers for the Tom Brady injury, or hiding the injury, never putting him on the injured list?
The guy played the full season with a torn MCL that required surgery promptly after the Super Bowl, and he never showed up on the injury report once with a knee problem. And I've asked the league, as evidence has come out after the fact about the severity of the knee injury, do you have a comment on this? Did they violate the injury report? And the league has consistently said no comment. And Dan, I think, based on dealing with the league for the last 20 years, if there was no violation, they would say so. No comment to me implies that the Buccaneers did something here they shouldn't have done. They knew about the knee. Even if Tom Brady had his own separate setup where he got all of his treatment from Alex Guerrero and company, and the trainers for the Buccaneers never knew about the knee, there's no way the coaching staff didn't know that, you know, he's trying to protect his left knee. Don't expect me to roll out. Don't expect me to do this. I'm doing 3-step, 5-step drop, and I'm getting rid of the football as quickly as possible because my knee's got one hit. And I take that one hit, and there goes the ACL again, and we're done. And that's why they hit it. That's the problem with transparency for gambling purposes and the strategy of keeping your injured guys healthy. You don't want to paint a target on the injured body part. That's why the Buccaneers never disclosed it.
Okay, but what information, the gamblers, you know, with total transparency, they want to know this stuff. Now, is the league obligated to give gamblers this much information?
Microphone. Here's the problem, Dan, as I try to do some, my microphone has a torn MCL, apparently. If there is not full transparency, then that means there is inside information to be had, which creates an incentive for the gamblers to try to find it, which means certain people who have the inside information are going to be worked on to share the inside information. And this is the kind of thing that can spiral out of control for the NFL. I've had it compared to inside information with publicly traded companies. Non-material public or non-material private information that becomes known to certain people who go buy and sell stocks with that information. You don't want there to be inside information. That creates a potential for corruption. That creates a potential for all sorts of infiltration by gambling interests. And the league needs to be concerned about it, because the wrong scandal at the wrong time means Congress gets involved, maybe creates an agency to oversee all professional sports because gambling is legalized, sea to shining sea. And at some point, there's going to be an ambitious prosecutor that has jurisdiction over one of these teams that maybe has people there who have done things they shouldn't have done. Next thing you know, a grand jury is convened. Next thing you know, people get indicted. I think the league needs to work hard to avoid that kind of outcome. That's why this Brady thing is important. Whoever knows the truth about injuries has the power to misuse that information and create problems for the league.
Thank you, Mike, as always. Have a great week.
All right, Dan. See you, pal.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. You can see that show on Peacock preceding ours. We'll take a break. Our best and worst of the weekend. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Game 5 in Phoenix, alley-oop to Giannis, giving the Bucks a 3-2 lead. First road win in the series. Worst, going off the board, non-sports related. Learning Friday evening, one of my favorite rappers, Biz Markie, passed away. Gave us hits, Just a Friend, Vapors, Make the Music with Your Mouth Biz, Pickin' Boogers. He was 57 years old.
Did we see him in Jacksonville, Paulie, for the Super Bowl? Was he there that week at an ESPN event?
Yes. It was like an ESPN The Magazine party or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't Roethlisberger have a chain on that was huge?
That, I think, was in Detroit. If the Steelers were in the Super Bowl, that was in Detroit.
No, he was not playing in the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. But yes, I
he had a black...
I do remember the chain, though. We were together. It looked like a Flavor Flav-style chain around his neck.
Huge, huge. It was a cross.
He was about 23 years old.
Yeah. But I remember, and Biz Markie was the performing artist there. Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend, Dan. Gold Cup, U.S. men's national team scoring 20 seconds in against international powerhouse Canada to take them down.
Yes. Oh, God, so good.
My other best of the weekend, too, not to just echo what Todd said, but Giannis is getting all the attention for the alley-oop for some reason, but that play is all Drew Holiday. That steal, the alley-oop, everything. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay. I do love on the alley-oop, though, when all the still frames of it, and you see, like, Adele going nuts.
Oh, I know.
And then there's, like, Lil Wayne is somewhere in there. And
Adele reportedly dating LeBron James's agent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we going to acquire Adele, our country?
I don't know. I love Adele.
That'd be a big pickup.
I would love to go see Adele.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I think she has stage fright or anxiety. I don't know. Like, there's certain artists. Carly Simon.
Tough business to be in.
Yes, it is.
When you suffer from stage fright.
Well, she could just record music. I know you make your money when you tour, but yeah, that is a problem. Hey, here's the good news. She's an unbelievable singer. Here's the bad news. She doesn't like performing in front of an audience.
Like Michael Phelps being afraid of the water.
Yeah. Best and worst, Paul.
I'm going to go best is USA men's basketball beating Spain last night, 83-76. I'm not really anti-Spain. I'm just anti-Chris Mannix. Mannix, when the
Spanish team... Oh, my God. He wouldn't stop last night.
They had the lead in the first half, and Rubio had, I think, 2 points. He was texting you and I incessantly.
He was taking pictures of Rubio on the floor, Rubio at a press conference, and sending it to me. My wife's like, who's texting you?
I think, first of all, Spain is stacked. I mean,
and then Mannix goes, I'll call in and give full details on this on Monday. I went, nah, I'm good.
The other, I don't know if this is best or worst, but if you were checking Twitter this morning and there was a headline, USA gymnast has COVID. It's not Simone Biles was actually in the headline. Like, they didn't say who it was. They said who it's not.
Yeah, it's an alternate who tested positive. How long is that flight? Does everybody leave from New York to go to Tokyo?
I think 14 hours.
14 straight?
I think so. And the longest flight, commercial flight in the world is, I think it's Los Angeles to Singapore, is almost 18 hours direct. What's the longest one you've ever been on?
Well, I went from Connecticut to Sydney, Australia. So I think it took me 22 hours to get from Hartford, Connecticut to Sydney. I didn't know what month it was when I got off the plane. And I you know, back then you didn't have things that you could watch. You didn't like, you you had to, the old school way, we had to read a book. But, you know, there's no movie. There'd be one movie there. And that, depending on where you were seated, you know, you might not even, you know, you'd have a obscured view of something there. Yes, you.
It's the worst, too, when you know you're getting on a long flight and you download, like, three movies or something, and then you get on the plane, you sit, and you go to watch them, and you find out you didn't actually download them all. You just sort of did. And the fear of, like, oh, I'm going to be in here for another 6 hours.
Yeah.
Damn it, why didn't I check this?
Yeah, it was. I was doing a story on Sean Bradley when he was on his Mormon mission, and he was in Sydney, and he was going door to door. And I went over there and did a story on him. And it was December. And it was so hot in Sydney. Unbelievable. The hottest sun I've ever been in. They don't have any ozone layer there. And, like, it was scorching hot.
Think how bad it was for Sean Bradley.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
way up.
Yeah, see.
If you have a crazy long flight like that, do you prefer to just go direct or have a couple of layovers?
Well, it helped to stretch your legs because I went from Hartford to Chicago, Chicago to L.A., L.A. then to Sydney.
Mm.
But on the way back, as I'm leaving Sydney, I'm on the wing. My seat is right, on the window, and I'm right there by the wing. And all of a sudden, I just see this black plume of smoke go. Now, I'm with a woman who's never been on a plane before. And she is holding on to my hand at one point. And she goes, what was that? I said, we're going to have to turn around. Why? I said, we just blew an engine. Wait, are we crashing? I go, no. They got three other ones. We're good. Like, I was worried she was going to panic. And then the pilot comes on and said, if you're on the left side of the plane, you notice the black cloud of smoke. That we lost one of our engines. We're going to be... So we're 4 hours out. We have to turn around and go 4 hours. Then we had to do a layover for another flight 4 hours to then come back for 22 hours. Good times. I spent a lot of time with this woman. A lot of time. Reggie Miller will join us. We'll talk about the NBA Finals, but also Damian Lillard in Portland. At least he is for now. Reggie will join us coming up. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We're back with the final hour after this.